In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
Today is Sunday, August 1st, and it is the 25th of the month of Abib, and the gospel reading today is about the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And every time I think of that story, I remember a funny story when I was young. I heard about two guys who were talking together, and they were wondering, what would people say when they die during their eulogy at their funeral? What are people going to say about them? And the first guy goes, well, I would like people to point at the casket and say, you know, point at me and say, look, he was good to his family, he was good to society, he took care of everybody. Overall, a very good man. And he looked at the other guy and he looked and said, what would you want people to say? And the other guy goes, well, I would like people to point at me at the casket and say, look, he's moving. And it is a funny story, but imagine it comes to life. Imagine a truthful story like that where you are sitting in a funeral or at a cemetery and you see a person comes to life. And this is exactly what Martha and Mary and all the disciples and all the families and relatives of Lazarus, even the chief scribes and the Pharisees, witnessed on that day. They saw a man coming back from life. And when we think of Lazarus, we think of this mysterious character. He is a person in the Bible that we all know his name, we all know his story, yet he never mentioned one word in the gospel. He never uttered one word in this whole gospel. His name is only mentioned twice, and it's only mentioned in the Gospel of St. John. As great of a miracle this is, one of the greatest miracles that Christ our Lord has performed, it's only mentioned in the Gospel of St. John. And we see his name mentioned today, and then he's mentioned again in the next chapter, in chapter 12, when it said that Lazarus was sitting with Jesus and they were having a feast, having dinner to celebrate his resurrection from the dead. Now the church thinks of Lazarus so highly that it actually has a day named after him. We have a day that we call Lazarus Saturday. It's the day right before Palm Sunday, the day before Holy Week begins. So we have a name, a day for him in the church named after him. And they actually, about 20 years ago, they had made a survey and they asked people, if you wanted to have dinner with a character from the Bible or talk and have an interview for 1 hour beside our Lord Jesus Christ, which character would you choose? And to the surprise of the people who gave that survey, Lazarus's name was pretty much on top of the list. And they went and asked the people, why did you put Lazarus' name? And all of them had the same answer. We wanted to know what happened when you died. What did you see in those 4 days? What did you notice? What did you hear? What did you smell? People are so infatuated with knowing exactly what happens when people dies and what do they see and what do they notice. And it's very interesting in the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the disciples, we never heard or we never saw what happened. It would have been very, you know, easy for the disciples to go to Lazarus later on while they're writing the gospel and ask him, tell us exactly what you saw, what did you hear, because this is a very important thing and we wanted to know. But it was never mentioned what he saw or what he did. And the reason for this is God wants us to concentrate on life. He doesn't want us to think of what death is. Death is something that we should not keep our minds on. And that's why today we see a verse that is a very important verse, one of the most important verses in the whole Bible. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am life. There are many, many I ams that Christ has given us. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the gate. During the 50 days of the resurrection, of the joyful days, we have readings on I am the bread of life, I am the water of life, I am the true light. And then he comes again and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he comes and says life again. So actually the word life is the only word that he twice repeated about himself. Today he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And previously he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is life. He wants you to concentrate on him and not concentrate on death. Now, Lazarus is actually a word that's even very well known with non-Christians. In biology, there's a term that's called Lazarus taxon. It means you have an organism that comes back to life on a fossil. If you have a fossil that died and there's an organism that comes back to life, they brought a name from the Bible, his name Lazarus, who rose, and they put it in biology. In the medical field, there is a Lazarus phenomena. They give it a name, the Lazarus phenomena. If somebody dies and his heart stops and then later on, in a couple of minutes, he comes back to life. They give it the term the Lazarus phenomenon. So his name is even very popular in the non-Christian life itself. And we mention his name actually twice in the Synaxarium. I'm actually surprised we didn't mention it today. It seemed we mentioned all the saints today, but we mention his name twice. We mention his name on Baramhat, 17th of Baramhat, and on the 4th, on the 21st of Baba. On the 17th of Baramhat, we mention his name when he actually truly died the second time, and that was his final death. And on the 21st of Baba, we mention his name when they actually found his body. One of the emperors found his body, and he contacted Emperor Constantine, and they relocated the body of Lazarus back. And they knew that it was his body, because on his coffin, there was a note that said, "Here lies Lazarus, friend of Jesus, whom he rose 4 days after his death." So, and actually in Jerusalem, we know of the tomb of Lazarus, the story where it took place, the tomb where he died himself. A lot of people actually go and they visit that tomb where he died. Now, when we get to the story, and we look at the story today, it's a pretty lengthy story, 45 verses, we can kind of break it into three parts. The first part, we see our Lord Jesus Christ with the disciples, and they're kind of in a city far away from where Lazarus is sick. And Mary and Martha, they send one of their servants to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him know that your friend who you loved, Lazarus, is sick. And Christ does something very strange. He decides to wait 2 more days. And this is kind of ironic, because if you were here yesterday in Vespers, or you read the Gospel of the Vespers yesterday, it talks about the story of there was the centurion who had a sick servant, and he sent one of his messengers to Christ and tell him, "My servant is sick." And what does Christ do? He gets up immediately, goes with the centurion, and then the servant is healed. How ironic is that? To Lazarus, who is his friend, who is one of his best friends, who is Jewish, Christ decides to stay. But then we see here when he's treating somebody who is a Roman centurion, some stranger he doesn't know, he decides to get up immediately and go help him. And of course, this might have been very confusing to the disciples at the time. But Christ comes and he explains to him why he's doing this. He said, "This will be done for the glory of God." We after that see the second scene. We see later, he looks at the disciples 2 days later and he said, "Okay, let's go back now because Lazarus is sleeping." And the disciples were confused at the time. They said, "Okay, well, if he's sleeping, he's going to get well." But Christ looks at him and he said, "No, Lazarus is dead." And this is the first time in the gospel that Christ ever mentioned somebody by name and then he said he is dead. When he rose the daughter of Jairus's, he said the girl is sleeping. But today he confirmed, he said, "Lazarus is dead." And he told the disciples, "Let's get up and go back to Bethany," which was about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And the disciples were very scared, and they didn't want to go back because Christ at that time was being hated. And even St. Thomas said, "Let's go back with him to be killed if he gets killed." They go back, and Martha meets him on the way. She comes to him when she hears he's back, and she looks at him, and she's kind of sad. She said, "If you were here, O Lord, this would not have happened to my brother." And here is when Christ, he gives her the most powerful verse in the Bible. He does say, "I am the resurrection and the life." But after that, what does he say? He said, "He who believes in me, and though he dies, he shall live. And he who is alive will never die." Very powerful verse. And then after he finishes it, he actually wants to make sure she understood what he said. So he looks at her and he goes, "Do you believe this?" And it's a question that he's giving to Martha, but he's actually giving it to each one of us. He's asking each one of us, "Do you truly believe this? Do you believe that Christ is the resurrection? Do you believe that he, after you die, you will be with Christ? That if your spirit, while you're on this earth, will never die as long as you're him?" Are we kind of born Christian just because our parents are Christian? Or do we truly, when we live with Christ, we feel this feeling like that? Then, after that, we see the third scene. What do we see? We see Christ going to the tomb, the location where Lazarus' body is. And he looks around them, and he sees all these people who are sad, and they are mourning, all his friends, his loved ones. And St. John gives us one of the most beautiful verses in the Gospel, in the whole Bible. The shortest verse ever mentioned. The most sensitive verse ever mentioned. He said, Jesus wept. It's such a strong verse that he decided to put it in a whole sentence. Those two words became a sentence by itself. The tears of Christ are so important that he decides to make a sentence out of it. Jesus wept. And we start thinking, why did Christ cry at that moment? I mean, we knew he was gonna raise Lazarus from the dead in a couple of minutes. So why would he be crying? And there are many contemplations that we can stand and look at why did Jesus weep? We can say that he's weeping because he sees all these people around him, Martha and Mary and all the friends, they're all crying. And what did he say? He said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Even St. Paul in the book of Romans in chapter 12, what did he say? He said, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. That is what Christ was doing. He was weeping with those who are weeping. Another contemplation, we can say Christ was weeping because he's actually looking around and he sees the hardness of the people. Some of them say, oh, well, he was too late. Others are saying, oh, he raised the blind. He could not. He could be weeping for all the sin and the hardness of heart around in the people. Another reason he could be weeping is, imagine this. Here he is standing outside looking at Lazarus in the tomb. And in 1 week, the situation is going to reverse. Now Christ is going to be inside of a tomb and Lazarus is going to be on the outside watching what's going on. He might be weeping, seeing all the passion and all the love that he's going to be showing for us. And then he looks and says, remove the stone. And what does Martha say? She says, Lord, please don't, because there is going to be a stench. And the reason she said that is that in the Jewish tradition, in the old religion tradition of the Jewish, if somebody dies, it says that the spirit of the body hovers around the body for 3 days and then it departs. So if there is a chance for anybody to come back to life, it has to be done within 3 days. After those 3 days, it is hopeless. That spirit is gone and nobody knows where it goes after that. And that's why she said there is a stench. Imagine this body now has rotted. This person has already died. And the Lord Jesus Christ looks at her and he goes, don't you remember what I told you? And what is he does? He looks at Lazarus and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And we hear the story many times, Lazarus, come forth. But imagine you have a body that's been dead for 4 days. And this body is decayed. We have doctors who are neurosurgeons, and you have people who are cardiologists, and you have people who study bones, and people who study, you know, every part of the body. And Christ, in one word, he showed that all these sciences can be combined into one. He was able to bring blood into that body. He's making able to let the kidney work again, the brain function again, all the stems in the body, the white blood cells, and we all study all these all our life. And him, with one word, he's able to make all these function again just like they were before. And Lazarus is able to get up and walk again. And you notice when he looked at him, he called him by name. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He had to call him by his name because Christ has the power. If he had not said, Lazarus, come forth, and he said, come forth, a lot of the people meditate, a lot of the fathers say, all the dead would have got up and they would have started walking. That's how much the power of Christ is. We hear of stories where, you know, miracles that happen, people walk by him, people touch him. He just gives the word and things happen. So he had to specify and say, Lazarus, come forth. And how does Lazarus come out? Lazarus comes out, he's wrapped in the linens, he has the covers and everything. He still needs help. Even when Christ gives him up and brings him up to life, the sin is still holding on to him. As we also are always committing sins and we die in our sin and we come back and Christ calls us, we're still wrapped up in those sins and we need somebody to unwrap us from those sins. And if you were here early in the morning, you'd have seen the wisdom of the church. You would have seen the gospel reading today was about the resurrection of Christ and how the disciples, St. Peter and St. John, they went to the tomb early in the morning. And what did they see? They saw a tomb that was open. They saw an empty tomb, and they saw linens and veils that are wrapped. They're trying to give you a comparison of how Christ, he is able to raise himself. He is able to move the stone by himself. He is able to take the linens and wrap them, and they're all on the side. Lazarus is not like that. Lazarus needs Christ. He needs somebody to move the tomb for him. He needs somebody to unwrap the linens from him. And that's why we always need Christ in our life. So if we think about it, let's always remember Lazarus, what Christ did for him. He is the resurrection of the life. He shows us his power in the resurrection of the life. But then also at the same time, he shows us his humanity by weeping for all our sins. And glory be to God forever.